Come ye before him and rejoice. So the 100th Psalm, and we'll rise together to sing, please. Together in prayer. Lift our hearts to the Lord. Think of the words of that fourth verse that we just sang together. Oh, enter then his gates with praise, approach with joy his courts on too. So may the Lord enable us as we seek him together just to lift our hearts in praise to him. Father, we want to come into your presence in the attitude of prayer. We pray for the fullness of your Spirit. You've told us in your word we're not to be drunk with wine, we're in its excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We ask, Father, at the very beginning of our service, that you'll grant to us that infilling, that enduement of the power of the Holy Spirit. May this be a meeting that knows the Spirit of God just resting upon it. May the Holy Ghost come and help us and guide us. You've spoken in your word about praying in the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we want to know that experience just now. Even as we bow in your presence, lift our hearts to thee. Come and guide us, Father. In our prayers, guide our thoughts. We pray that you'll come and prompt our hearts. Especially, Father, guide us in those things we lift up before thee. We come, Father, to worship thee today. We remember that you're the one that has made all things. You're the great creator of the very ends of the earth, the great creator of this whole universe in which we're found, that you spoke it into being, that without thee was not anything made that was made. We remember, Father, we acknowledge today that you're our maker. And we remember your word tells us that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And we marvel, Father, today at the great wonder, even of the human body. For those of us that know Christ, this body of ours is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You've told us, Father, we're not to defile this temple. We pray that you'll enable us as your people to live that holy life before thee as we ought, to walk circumspectly and not as fools, even as Paul exhorted the Ephesian believers. You've said we're to be holy as thou art holy. And Lord, grant us, even in prayer now and in this service, a consciousness that we're entering into the presence of the very holy God of heaven. We remember that your word speaks of your holy heaven. We thank you, Father, for the prospect of all that are here today that know Christ, have that assurance that they're going to heaven. We pray, Father, that that might be the testimony of every one in this meeting. Lord, it's our burden. We pray that that burden will never weaken, that we'll never lose the burden for the lost souls. We pray, Father, give us a burden for those in this church that have still to be won for Christ, those in the families of this church that still cannot say that they're saved by the grace of God. Lord, our prayer today is that all our family circles will be united in Christ, that not one of our family circles would be broken, not broken here in time, but, O God, especially, we pray that our family circles might not be broken in eternity. We plead, Father, for those of our families not saved, those that are not right with God. We ask thee, Father, to be gracious, to be merciful. We want to pray that even today that you'll speak to their hearts. We pray that you'll speak through some dear believer that you bring across their path. Speak to them through your word that they were taught as a child. Your word says, we remember the promise, how sweet it is at every parent and grandparent in this meeting, that if we train up a child in the way it should go, that when it's old, it will not depart therefrom. So we're praying, Father, speak. Speak in our family circle. Speak in this city and in this community. Lord, in these days of apathy, these days of spiritual barrenness, we plead that you'll come down upon us in great power. Lord, increase our burden even for the place of prayer. And we want to cry to thee today. Send to us a mighty revival. Give us a little reviving today. Send us the breath of God, we ask in these meetings. We want to pray that you'll visit us, Father, with times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Remember that Habakkuk prayed that you'd revive thy work in the midst of the years. And Lord, we pray for that revival, that preserving alive of the testimony of the gospel. Lead this congregation on. We pray that you'll bless it mightily. We pray, Father, that you'll build up this church. We remember the promise that you'll build your church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We want, Father, to stand on that promise today. Pray you'll build this church up numerically. We ask that you'll add to it. There'll be a strengthening of our ranks, that there'll be an increase in attendance in every department of the church, that you'll bring in many visitors. Pray, Father, it'll be a regular thing at all our meetings, that people will be coming in from this city and this community. But we want to pray too, Father, that you'll build us up spiritually. Build us up in the things of God. We pray, Father, that we'll be built up in our most holy faith. Strengthen us, we ask, in heart. Strengthen us spiritually. Come and teach us more from your word. We pray that we'll be matured in the things of God. Remember that Paul had to lament of some believers that they were still children in the faith, even after many years after their conversion. Oh God, we want to pray, lead us on with thyself personally, and we pray you'll do the same for us as a congregation. Lord, we ask for souls to be saved in our meetings and through all our outreaches. You've told us we have not because we ask not. So we're pleading, Father, come and save souls. Give us times of harvest, the spiritual harvest, times of soul winning. We pray that you'll make us as a congregation to be fishers of men. Give us that burden and that outlook even as we go out day by day. Lord, bless all in positions of responsibility in this church. We pray that you'll impress upon our hearts that responsibility that's granted to us, that we one day must give an account. And we remember those words spoken especially to the elders of the church. They watch for your souls as they that must give an account. And Lord, help us to live every day in the light of that judgment that will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Give to us each the wisdom that is needed. Lord, we pray that you'll keep us. We pray that our testimony will be right before God and before the world. We pray, Father, that our lives will speak to those that are around us. We want to pray, Father, that our lives will stand out and be different from the society even in which we're found. So, Lord, hear our prayers today. Bless all that are gathered. Thank you for the faithfulness of the members of this congregation, their faithful support of this work, this testimony here in Armagh, all that labour so faithfully, so diligently in the many departments of the church, those that give so much of their time and their talents. We think, Father, of how sacrificially time is given to forward the work of the gospel here. And Lord, our prayer is that each that are involved in serving Christ through this church will be blessed in their own soul. We remember the great words of Boaz to Ruth, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And Lord, we want to ask that thou who art the great Lord of the harvest will fulfill your promise and give a full reward to each one, both here, and we know, Father, that there's that great reward that is waiting for us in eternity, but we want to pray that each one that labours so diligently for thee here will be encouraged and blessed in their labours for the Master. So, Father, be with us, abide with us now, and we just ask that we'll all know that the Lord is with us and amongst us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read a few verses together. We're in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, the 15th chapter. We're going to begin to read it, the first verse. And it's the first 11 verses just of the chapter we're going to read together. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Closing the reading just there this morning, the end of verse 11. And we pray the Lord will bless to your heart, bless to every heart in the meeting, this the public reading of his word. We're glad to see each one that has been able to join us this morning, fellowship with us at morning worship. We want to welcome you to the service in our Savior's great name. We welcome each one from the youngest right up to the oldest. We're glad to see each one that's present. We welcome those that are joining us today on the live stream as well. We appreciate your interest in the meetings here also. Pray that you'll be blessed as you listen in. Remember, please, the gospel service tonight, 6 o'clock, is the time of prayer. We invite you to come and join with us. We'd be glad of your prayerful support at 6 o'clock. Then 6:30, the gospel service. I hope to be the preacher myself. And the theme tonight is how the jailer was won to Christ. Tomorrow night at 8, there's a meeting for the ladies. Miss Noreen McAfee, missionary to Uganda, will be along to speak. She's going to speak on an interesting subject, a little about life in Africa, what it's like to live there, some of the differences, some of the challenges. You'll find that very interesting. We invite all the ladies to come along, make that known. Remember, it's open to other ladies outside the congregation. Encourage them to come along and join with you also. There'll be some light refreshment and a time of fellowship for the ladies after the meeting as well. Remember, Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, our midweek service. Keep in mind that this week it's taking the form of an information night. The Reverend Brian McClung will be along to speak and to make a presentation with regard to the charity registration, why we need charity registration, what is involved in that. There'll also be copies of the two documents that we will be voting on in a couple of weeks' time to adopt. There'll be copies of those documents that will be given out to the communicant members of the church in the meeting. Just to stress that meeting is open to those that are not communicant members of the congregation. If you're a regular attender at the prayer meeting, you're still welcome to come along. And all other members of the congregation that would like to hear the presentation, what is being said, you're also welcome to come along to that information night this coming Wednesday evening. But we especially encourage all of the communicant members of the church, those that will be voting on the documents, to come along this Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. There'll also be a brief meeting of the church committee after the service. There's just a couple of matters we need a little bit of guidance from the committee on, so we'll be doing that just as soon as we can after the service on Wednesday night. I'll be on holiday just for a week from this coming Thursday. As is normally the case, if there's an emergency during that time and pastoral care is required, contact one of the elders. There are always arrangements in place for pastoral care, and they'll be able to give you any help that is necessary. To remind you too that next Saturday, the 21st of May, is the next Consider Christ outreach. They're doing the outreaches a little different this year than formerly before the COVID crisis. Previously, it was every couple of months. This first half of the year, they're doing it every month, March, April, May. Then there's going to be a break until the autumn. So that's the reason they're coming up just so quickly. So next Saturday is the next Consider Christ outreach. Contact the Reverend Jonathan Crane, the Reverend James Porter, or the Reverend Ray Kerskadden if you would like to go along and give support and join the team next Saturday. The service is next Lord's Day, 22nd of May, 10:40 is the Sunday school, the Bible classes, 11:30 our morning worship, 6:30, the evening gospel service, preceded by the half hour of prayer. The preacher next Sabbath day is one of the students from the college, Mr. David McCauley, from the Ballymoney congregation, third year student in the Whitfield College. Do keep our brother in mind. We encourage you to come along to hear him. Remember that Dave's especially interested in missionary work. Was out in Uganda for a month at the start of the year, the month of February. So we invite you to come along. It's always good to take the opportunity to meet and to hear those that are studying for the ministry in the Whitfield College. The offering that was taken last Lord's Day for Miss Noreen McAfee, and she came last Sabbath morning, did her deputation report, that came to £1,019. We thank all who have given so generously to that offering. Remember that you still can add to it if you haven't had opportunity. Remember to put it in an envelope, mark it for Miss McAfee, and give it to one of the treasurers, or place it on the plate as you're going from the services. Just to highlight, the Sunday school outing will be Friday week. That's Friday the 27th of May. The bus will be leaving the Orange Hall that night at 6 o'clock. They're going over to Craigavon to the Airtastic Trampoline Park, and then a visit to McDonald's as well. So just to make you aware of that, to remind the children and the parents of the congregation of the Sunday school outing. The annual offering for the Whitfield College of the Bible, remember we're asked by Presbytery each year to take an offering one Lord's Day in May. All of the churches contribute to that to help with the running costs of the college. That will be the final Lord's Day of this month, Sunday the 29th. As we're doing with all of those type of offerings at present, put it in an envelope and place it on the plate with the envelope marked for the Whitfield College of the Bible. Just to highlight for you as well that Children's Day this year will be on Sunday the 12th of June. That's a week later than usual. We generally have Children's Day here on the first Sabbath day in the month of June. The reason for the change is the previous weekend, the first weekend in the month, has the bank holidays for the Queen's Platinum Jubilee celebrations. So please note that, just the change in date for the Children's Day until the Lord's Day, the 12th of June. The Mission Vision Conference in Lisburn during the past week went very well. It was a very encouraging time. Very well supported and attended. Very good spirit in the meetings. You can listen to the messages if you haven't had opportunity. They're all up on Facebook, either the Mission Board's Facebook page or the Lisburn Facebook page or the Lisburn Sermon Audio page. We felt that it was a very profitable week, finished very well yesterday with the workshops. Dr. Douglas attended the preaching meetings every night. He said to the Reverend Harris towards the end of the week that they weren't just meetings. He felt that we had been meeting with the Lord night by night. So we're very encouraged by all that took place. Keep in mind the board has opened the Facebook page at FP Mission. So look out for that and make it known to others as well. Keep in mind that the latest edition of the Vision magazine, that's the one for May and June, that's available at the doors. Take your copies as you're going from the service. Please remember in prayer our brother, Mr. Norman Kerr. Norman is in hospital at present. Just late on Wednesday afternoon, he was quite weak, had a little fall, so had to be taken into hospital just for some care and some tests. Remember too, John Watson, the late Mrs. Watson's son, he's very ill in hospital, and the doctors are very concerned just about John's condition. The family have sent through a number of messages and would value very much the prayers of the Lord's people here. Just remind you, we will be going to the door as you're leaving the service. We did that last Sunday evening. Just give us the opportunity to do that when the when the service is over. Finally, just to remind you that there will be a congregational meeting on Wednesday, the 1st of June at 8 o'clock. To remind you again that the purpose of that meeting is to adopt the two documents that are required for our congregation to register with the Charity Commissioners of Northern Ireland. So we ask just as many of the communicant members as possible to be present that evening, Wednesday the 1st. Keep in mind the list of the communicant members is on the notice board in the porch. So we're asking you just to check that list to make sure that your name is there. Speak to me if you have any queries about it. Also at that congregational meeting on the 1st of June, we're planning to vote on, as property holding trustees, those elders of the church here who have not yet been appointed to that position. So we just ask the communicant members to note that date, Wednesday the 1st, and we encourage you to plan to be present with us. We're going to sing another hymn together just before we come to the Word of God. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, and I am the clay. Mould me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. So we'll stand to sing the four verses of the hymn, please. Turning in the Word of God to 1 Corinthians 15, we're taking some words from the 10th verse as our text today. We'll take a moment just to seek the Lord's face, just to lift our hearts to Him. Father, we do want to pray today for the work of the Whitfield College. We do remember the principal and all that teach and lecture. The students, give them help. Keep your hand upon them. Keep them faithful to the things of God. We're mindful, Father, of the building project that is planned, the new facilities. We pray that you'll prosper that work. Nehemiah could say, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. We want to pray, Father, that you'll do that for all that are involved in that building project. Remember the needs of the college financially. Lord, we pray that you'll provide their every need from week to week and year to year. We pray that you'll send other students. We thank, Father, of the great needs. The labourers are few, both home, at home and abroad. Bless your young servant who will come to minister here next Sabbath day. May know the hand of God upon him. We pray, Father, that he'll be used of God as he ministers to the people here. We pray that his life and even his surrender to the cause of God might be a challenge to every member of the congregation. We want to pray today for those that are not well. We remember our brother Norman especially. Lord, just be near to him. We pray that you'll strengthen him. We ask you to guide the doctors as well. Give them wisdom. Remember Sister Mrs. Betty Kennedy, recovering from procedures just at this time. May she know the touch of God as well. Mindful of John Watson, Lord, so weak and ill. The concern that the doctors have for John just at this time. Sustain his wife Hilda. Remember the family circle. We pray, Father, that you be near to them. And Lord, as we consider those that are not well, and as we consider the waning of our strength and our health as the years go by, we ask thee, Father, help us to be busy for the Master. We pray that we will serve thee with all our heart and with all our soul, that whatsoever our hand finds to do, for Christ especially, that we'll do it with all of our might. So, Father, hear our prayers, and we pray the Spirit will come down, may descend mightily upon us just at this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. Let me just read that verse of Scripture to you. It tells us, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. How true those words are of every one of us that are saved and know the Saviour. It's only by his grace that we can say, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. That an interesting statement. The Lord, in reaching down and saving Paul, his life was not lived in vain. After his conversion to Christ, wasn't wasted. He didn't live a life that was without profit. But he says, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So it's those words especially, but I labored more abundantly than they all. I want you to think of your labors for Christ, how you're laboring, what work you're involved in for the Master, how you're serving him at this time. Remember the words at the beginning of the meeting, let my people go that they may serve me. The Lord has redeemed us and saved us for that purpose, that each of us will serve him all our days. Serve him with all our talents, with all that we are, with all our strength. We're going to think a little about the Apostle Paul today. Remember, we're engaged in a series of Bible characters. So we're coming to the life of Paul. And especially we're going to consider the theme of how Paul labored for the Lord. Can I point out to you, there are many misconceptions about the Apostle Paul, especially with regard to his physical appearance. Many have ideas about Paul, or many people have ideas about Paul that are wrong. In fact, it couldn't be further from the truth. For one thing, with regard to his voice, Paul wasn't a good speaker. He wasn't fluent. He wasn't in any way a man that could be described as an orator. He didn't have a booming, authoritative voice. Back in church history, one of the church fathers was known as John Chrysostom. That word, or that name, Chrysostom, meant John of the Golden Mouth. He was known as a man that had great utterance, a great oratory. But Paul wasn't like that. Remember in Corinthians, we're told that his speech was contemptible. Isn't that an interesting word? Something that's contemptible is nearly to be despised. And Paul, when he was speaking, would have been a man that would have been hard to listen to. In fact, that word, if you look at it, it's translated in a number of other ways in the New Testament. It's translated by the word despised. The things which are despised have God chosen. That's exactly the same word there in the original when it says his speech was contemptible. It's also translated by the word not, N-O-U-G-H-T, or nothing. The stone which was set of naught of you builders. So that's giving us a picture. It's giving us an idea of what Paul's voice was like. It was something to be despised. It was something, in many ways, that could be summed up as saying it sounded like nothing. And then as far as his body was concerned, there are many misconceptions as well, because the apostle wasn't big. He wasn't a strong man. He didn't have the glamorous film star image that he may be often portrayed by in some of the books. The Bible says his bodily presence was weak. And that's the same verse that goes on then to say, and his speech was contemptible. So just in one sentence, we have summed up for us some of the interesting characteristics of the apostle. But his bodily presence was weak. That word weak is translated in Acts chapter 3 as impotent. You know the story of the impotent man? The man that was lame from his birth? Well, that's exactly the same word when it says his bodily presence, talking about Paul's physical frame being weak. In Acts chapter 5, it's translated that they brought the sick into streets. Isn't that interesting? So it gives the idea of how weak Paul was. He was a small, insignificant, weak and sickly, a man with a weak and sickly constitution. Some of the secular historians describe Paul as being small and bow-legged. So the reality, brethren and sisters, is that bodily, Paul was just a puny, weak little man. And then think of his health. That needs to be added to the consideration. Because Paul was a man that for most of his life had serious health problems. He described it, or he spoke of them, as his thorn in the flesh. You will know there's a lot of discussion, much discussion about that issue, that question. Many, many opinions are given. What was Paul's thorn in the flesh? It certainly was a physical problem. Think of the words, his thorn in the flesh. So it was something to do with the body, something that he experienced in his mortal frame in the flesh. I think there's evidence to clearly suggest that it was some sort of eye disease, one of those eye diseases of the severest terms, probably something like myopia. Myopia is severe short-sightedness. And it would have been an eye disease that often would have been a revolting sight and would have left him in great pain. If you think of Acts 23, Paul standing before the Jewish Sanhedrin, and remember that he was slapped in the face, slapped in the mouth, and he rebuked the man that gave the order for him to be slapped that day. And then he learned that the man that gave the order was the high priest of Israel, because he said, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest. Now just think of that and consider the question. Tell me, why would Paul not recognize the high priest of Israel? Paul had been brought up as a Pharisee. He had been a member himself of the Jewish Sanhedrin. So why would he not recognize the most important man in Jewish religious life, the very leader of the Jewish religion, who was probably dressed in the very distinctive garments, remember the very colorful garments of the Jewish high priest. So Paul, why would Paul not recognize him? Well, the only answer you can give to that is because he couldn't see him. The man was only a blur to the apostle as he stood before the Jewish Sanhedrin that day. Also, when Paul was writing to the believers at Galatia, he spoke about my temptation which was in my flesh. And he said, which ye despised not. Isn't that interesting? He's saying that to the Galatians. That would infer, would give the indication of the idea that there were other Christians that did despise him and did despise his illness and did despise his appearance. But this is what he said to those Galatians in chapter 4, that ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. So why did he say that, brethren and sisters? Why did he actually record that? Why would those believers at Galatia have made that offer? To offer to have plucked out their own eyes and given them given their eyes to Paul. It's not an indication of what his thorn in the flesh actually was. You think of Paul's travels. He had a missionary team. One of the main companions in that missionary team was Luke. At one stage in his life's journey, as he was traveling for the Lord, Luke was the only person that was with him. Only Luke is with me. It's not a very interesting statement, very challenging statement. And remember that he called Luke the beloved physician. And one reason for that term of endearment, that term of affection in describing Luke, was because of all of the medical help as a physician that Luke would have given to the apostle Paul in his life, and especially in his very extensive travels. So I think it's clear, brethren and sisters, the thorn in the flesh, as you're thinking of Paul's health, as you think of the fact that he was a man that had a serious health problem for many years, I think it's clear that he had severe eye disease. Certainly his health wasn't good. And in the light of all of that, it's important for us to understand that Paul was the last man that you would think would do anything for the Lord. You think of his speech, his voice, think of his bodily presence, been weak. You think of the state of his health. Isn't it true? He's the very last man that you would expect to do anything for God. So take it in today, brethren and sisters. The man that traveled extensively across the Roman Empire, 3 great missionary journeys, in a day when travel was difficult and slow and dangerous. The man that shook the world, shook the Roman Empire for Christ. The New Testament, the book of Acts, records that they turned the world upside down. Such was the impact upon their ministry. And remember today that man literally couldn't see past the end of his nose. He constantly needed help. He constantly needed assistance and guidance from his friends and his co-workers. But yet, despite his pain, despite his discomfort, despite his bodily affliction, he accomplished a phenomenal amount for Christ. What a work he did for God. You look at exactly what he says in this text. I labored more abundantly than they all. That's not more than the other apostles individually on their own, but it's more than all of them put together. That's a staggering statement. In many ways, it's a stupendous statement. It should stand out off the page of the Word of God. It should strike our hearts today. You think of Peter in Jerusalem preaching, 3,000 converted, then a little later another 5,000 brought the Christ under his ministry. Think of Matthew We considered him a few Sabbath nights ago, bringing the publicans into his house and bringing the Savior along to minister to them. What a work he was doing. Think of John and Peter preaching together, the record of their preaching in the book of Acts. Think of James, the leader in the Jerusalem church. What a great impact and influence he was having for the gospel. In fact, Herod saw the only way to stop James was to put him to death. So you think of all of these and all the others as well, all the apostles in the New Testament church, put them all together, combine them all, mount up the work that they did. And Paul says, I labored more abundantly than they all. My labors exceeded all of them, all of their work together. You think of the book of Acts. The title of the book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. Primarily, the book of Acts records the labors of one apostle, and that is Paul, Saul of Tarsus. The first 8 chapters, you get a little record of the service of some of the other apostles. Peter, I've mentioned John to you as well. But from chapter 9 on in the book of Acts, it's mainly the labors of the apostle Paul that is recorded. And the reality is, you think of that, what that means is his work, his life, his labors eclipsed all of the rest. Because he labored more abundantly than them all. It's saying really to us today that nobody in the days of the New Testament church did more for Christ, did more to promote the cause of Christ, the cause of the gospel, than the Apostle Paul. So we have to marvel, men and women. We have to stand in awe today at what this little man, with all his physical disabilities, what he accomplished for God in the winning of souls. And in the light of that, we need to ask the question, what have you done for the Lord? Remember, we're looking into the Word of God. It's like a mirror. You see yourself. So compare your life, your labors with those of the Apostle Paul. Turn the spotlight today on your own service for the Master, and ask yourself, to what extent have you labored for him? I wonder you what can be described as a lily Christian. Remember the scriptures, the Savior in the great Sermon on the Mount, speaking about the lilies, he said, they toil not, neither do they spin. I wonder, is that what you're like? You don't toil. You don't work. You don't labor in the cause of the gospel. If that is true, men and women, how sad that is, that you've never labored, or maybe it's been quite some time since you labored for the Master. As you think of Paul and all he did, despite his physical condition, there are two lessons I'll leave with you just quickly as we close this morning. One has to do with excuses. Isn't it true? Christians are full of excuses, all sorts of excuses. Remember the parable, they all with one accord began to make excuse. And so often that happens. You know the gospel song, we often hear excuses, excuses. We hear them every day. And so it is, brethren and sisters. You hear it in secular life. You hear it especially in church life. All sorts of excuses being made for not being there, not being at the meetings, not being involved in the work. The challenge of Paul's life to our hearts today is, have done with your excuses. Remember that in the days of Nehemiah, it was our motto text just a couple of years ago, the people had a mind to work. And that's what makes the difference. Why did the work there in Jerusalem prosper, go forward so quickly? Why did they complete the work in what really was record time? Because of the attitude, the outlook of the people. They had a mind to work. Think of the words of that hymn in our book, Hark the Voice of Jesus Crying, Who Will Go to Work to Go and Work Today? That was the hymn that they took as the theme hymn for the Mission Vision Conference in Lisburn this week. There's a verse in that hymn that says, Let none hear you idly saying, There is nothing I can do when the souls of men are crying, are dying, and the Master calls for you. So there's a lesson about excuses. There's also a lesson here of encouragement. And the encouragement is, for every Christian in this meeting, that God can use you. God can use even you in His service. Whoever you are, and whatever your condition might be, whatever condition your health is in, however you may feel about your talents and your abilities, God is able to use you. So think of it, if God could use Paul, and I've sought today to set out for you a description of Paul, trying to dispel all of those misconceptions about his life and his ability. So if God could use Paul, the reality, men and women, is God could use anybody. He can use anybody. Moses, the Bible says of Moses that he was slow of speech. Generally, the understanding of those words is that he was a man with a speech impediment, a stoppage. That's the reason why he wanted his brother Aaron to be sent with him as his spokesman, as his prophet. But God used him. God used Moses, even a man with a slowness of speech, difficulty in utterance. Remember that Dr. Cook, his view was that next to the Lord Jesus, Moses was the greatest man ever to live. In heaven they sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. But get a clear picture in your mind also of Moses' ability. Sometimes, you know, we have the wrong idea about quite a few of God's servants. A man with a stoppage, slow of speech, used so mightily of God. Think of Ehud, one of the judges. A few weeks ago, we considered the life of Samson, the strong man that was weak. Well, think of Ehud. The Bible says that he was a man left-handed. Literally, the reading there in the margin is, he was a man shut of his right hand. The idea is that he had no strength. He had no power in his right hand. Ehud, too, was a man with a physical disability. But God took him up. God used him. God used him to the deliverance of his people. Think of Fanny Crosby. Lost her sight as a child in the first few months of her life on earth. But she didn't allow that to hinder her. Wrote 8,000 hymns, many of them in our book that we're so familiar with. So I want you to think today. I want you, each one, as you go from the house of God this morning, to be blessed and encouraged in your own heart and in your own soul. Go away and think about the Apostle Paul. Go away and think of these other examples, and remember, there's many more that could be added to them. But be encouraged. There's a work for you to do. God can use you in His service. Do you remember what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church? That God hath chosen the weak things of the world. Paul's right up there as far as examples of that are concerned. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. What Paul's teaching us there is God delights to use weak vessels in His service. But remember that it's in our weakness that we're made strong. It's only when we feel our weakness and really feel it that the Lord gives us His strength and His power. So what an encouragement Paul's life has for every Christian. For every believer. I'll close just with this thought. Do you remember the woman that washed and anointed the feet of the Savior? Do you remember what his response? Do you remember what the Savior's comment was about that dear lady? She hath done what she could. And I want to urge you to take that to heart today. And I want to encourage every one of you to do the same. Don't sit back and be careless. Don't sit back and be idle. There's a work to be done, men and women. There's a great work to be done for Christ, both at home and abroad. A great work in the winning of souls, in the extending of his kingdom. The time that we have is short. So very, very short. So don't sit back and be idle. You may not be able to do all that you want to do. You may lament at times that you can't do what others can do or what others have done. But that's not really the thing that matters. What matters and what the Lord is looking for is for you to do what you can. Do what you're able to do. It's no sin to fail, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say. No sin to fail. But it's a sin to do less than your best. And that's all that God requires of any one of us. Your best may fall short of, far short of the best of others. That may be true of all of us. But that's all the Lord requires of us, to do our best, to do what we can in his service. So think of these words. Think of all that this man, Paul, with all his weaknesses, all his infirmities, all of the hindrances, all of the restraints that were upon him, particularly thinking of his body, he says, but I labored. I got into the work. I got involved in the work. I labored for Christ despite all of those things. I didn't let them be a hindrance, an excuse for me doing nothing. I labored, and I labored more abundantly than they all. So that's a little, men and women, of how Paul labored for the Lord. And I pray he'll bless his word to every heart today. We're singing Isaac Watts's hymn of consecration as we close the service. 480, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. 480, and we'll stand as we sing, please. bow together in prayer. One of the quotes that was brought to her attention at those missionary meetings this week was from John G. Patton, the Scottish man that went as a missionary to the South Sea Islands back in the 19th century. It was really a quote that guided his life, his motto for his life. When he thought of God giving his best for him, his only response could be that he would give his best, that he would give us all for Christ. And that's the challenge of the meeting, the message today, the final words of that hymn. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. That's the response, brethren and sisters, the Lord is looking for today from our hearts. Let my people go, that they may serve me. Thank you, Father, for your hand on the gathering today, your presence with us. Thank you for your word. Thank that these things are written for our learning, on whom the ends of the world are come. Thank you for the challenge of the life of the Apostle Paul. We praise thee, Father, for how you took him up and used him. We want to give ourselves to thee today. We want to come and lay our all on the altar. We want to consecrate ourselves again in thy service. And Lord, our prayer is the little that I can, Lord, let me do. Help us to do what we can in the service of Christ. Grant us your power today. Grant us the infilling of your Spirit. Grant us your grace. And Lord, we want to pray that we'll make a difference in this world, utterly disproportionate to who we are, to who we are physically, to who we are, even as far as our talents and our gifts are concerned. Bless this church through the rest of today. Bring in the lost tonight. Save souls in the meeting. Bless us through this week. Come and guide us. And Lord, use us, we pray. Make us channels of blessing. And may the blessing of the triune God, the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be our abiding portion, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for coming. We're very glad to see each one. We're encouraged by your presence with us today. Do remember the meeting tonight and come again to the gospel service, please.